بعد دیگر صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأجمعين بهم نتولى ومن أغدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا محافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توبا وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
We ask Allah تبارك وتعالى to make this majlis of ours a majlis of ma'rifa, a majlis of learning wherein Allah جل وعلا معصومين عليهم السلام have a special eye on this majlis. The topic that has been selected for the forthcoming nights, starting from tonight, is Shia in the view of Imam Ali عليه السلام. So we'll see what Amir al-Mu'mineen expects from the Shias. What is the definition of Shias, and what are the criteria and the qualities they need to possess? Before we come to this point, we need to know the definition of Iman. Because Shia, when we say, it means a mu'min. And in Quran throughout, whenever you find the term mu'mineen, mu'minun, mu'min, it means the Shias. The applicable of mu'mineen throughout Quran are the Shias. So the definition of Iman has to be understood, because a mu'min is someone who possesses Iman. And Iman, which is faith, belief, it is the key to prosperity and one of the most important Islamic teachings. Wherein the true success of man lies, it is in Iman. And good actions, that is the amal as-salih that we do, they too are the effects, or they stem out of that Iman. That is, if a person possesses Iman, you will find that he does good actions. And that Iman, if it is lacking in an individual, good actions also will not exist. So the stronger the Iman, the more good actions will be seen from an individual. And the weaker the Iman, the lesser the good actions will be seen. And if no Iman exists in an individual, no good actions will be seen. Now Quran mentions that the signs of a strong Iman, and on the contrary, does mention that if man does not possess Iman, no matter what he does throughout his life, none of his amal will be accepted, none of his actions will be accepted, and all will be just vain and waste. So, no matter what he does in this dunya without Iman, for his eternal success and prosperity, he will not benefit at all. Now when we talk about Iman, faith, it means the fundamentals that we have faith in, which is Tawheed, Adl, Nubuwwah, Imamah and Qiyamah. That is, if someone has Iman in these five fundamentals, this individual will be called and classified as a mu'min, as a believer. So, that is mu'min. And again, if you look into Quran, in Surah Al-Asr, it says that إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. When Allah says that the entire humanity is at loss, they will sustain a huge big loss. But there is an exception to it. It says, but those who possess Iman and those who have done good actions, good deeds. Elsewhere say, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Mu'mineen, they are those who have that criteria of Iman, and in addition to that, they have that good deeds, good actions in on top of it. So without Iman, every good that we will do will be just a waste. Our Quran defines it in a more beautiful way. It says that مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَرَمَادٍ اشْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الرِّيحِ فِي يَوْمِ عاصف لا يقدرون مما كسبوا على شيء ذلك هو الضلال البعيد. You've seen the ashes when you burn coal, you get these ashes. Ashes, it's so light. They are so just dust, even lighter than dust. Quran says that when these ashes, they settle down on a rock, on a place. If you just blow lightly on these ashes will blow away. Now says that you find these ashes that have settled, and on a windy day, if a wind is to blow on these ashes, will anything remain? Nothing would remain. Says people who have no iman and do good, their actions will be like those ashes. Nothing would remain for their eternal success and prosperity. So if you want these actions of ours to remain for us, for our eternity, for our eternal prosperity and success, that basic criteria, which is iman, must be there. Without that, it is impossible. And then Quran says that kufr, it is darkness. Iman is light. And to understand this again, there is another ayah in Quran, very beautiful. It says that وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَالسَّرَابٍ بِقِيعَةٍ يَحْسَبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً. That someone who does not possess iman, but just carries on doing with good actions, says that this individual, it's like that person who is thirsty, and on a hot day when he comes out and he sees at a distance there is water. But that's not water, that's the mirage which he sees, a reflection in that, on that sunny day. Says that when he comes to that point where he thought it is water, which was a mirage, then he doesn't find anything at all. Says those people who do not possess iman and just keep on doing with these good actions without a base, their amal also will be like that mirage. That is when they come to see their actions on the day of judgment, they would find that nothing exists and nothing will be there. Now the other beautiful, delicate point which we find in this ayah is that is when they come to see their actions on the day of judgment, they would find that nothing is there. In addition, they would meet God, and that the punishment, the wrath that is waiting them would be seen on that day. So iman is the basic criteria, that we have to have faith in Allah, we have to have faith in His justice, we have to have faith in the concept of prophethood, we have to have faith in the concept of imamah, and belief in the day of judgment. So these are the basic criteria that we need to possess, and someone who possesses these five basic criteria is known as mu'min in Quran, someone who possesses iman. And someone who is a mu'min is a Shia. And we want to see that Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he wants to define Shia, who are they? Or for example, in Quran says that أَوْ كَذُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرٍ لُجِّيٍّ يَغْشَاهُ مَوْجٌ مِنْ فَوْقِهِ مَوْجٌ مِنْ فَوْقِهِ سَحَابٌ ذُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. Says that a very deep ocean, and in an ocean you find that the light, it does not penetrate into the ocean because it's so deep. That sunlight which is present, it cannot reach to the bottom of that ocean. Quran says that now that is not possible for that light to reach to the bottom of the ocean. On top of this deep ocean, there are these massive waves. These massive waves, again, they are a hindrance, a barrier, a curtain between that light and the ocean and the depth. So furthermore, the light will not go down. Quran says, on top of these massive waves, you have another massive wave, which would not allow that light to come down. And then says, that deep ocean with a massive wave, on top of it, another massive wave, and on top of that, a dark cloud. Will that allow that light to get down? It won't. Say, someone who does not possess iman is like that. No matter how much he does, no matter what he does, All of his actions are zulumatun. Ba'duha fawqa ba'd. It's darkness over darkness over darkness. And if we want this darkness to be removed, and we want ourselves to be enlightened, so these hijabs and barriers need to be removed. And what are they? We have to correct our iman, our faith, our fundamentals. Belief in the one God, belief in the concept of prophethood, believe in the hereafter. That is important. Once in a while, if you get time, there are these different du'as that we have. For example, Ziyarat Aali Yaseen. Or for example, Du'a Adila. Just glance, have a glance over it, look into it, that what our Aqeedah is, what do we believe in. Or for example, this Talqeen, which is recited on someone who has passed away. So for us to benefit from these Talqeen, that Du'a and those recitals, it is a good idea that we get acquainted with these things prior to our departure. It shouldn't be as such that when the person who is reciting this du'a, the adila or that talqeen, just recites and we don't understand anything. If we are acquainted with these issues now, then when they are recited, it will be easier for us to understand. Now, Quran says, iman is light, iman is nur. Kufr is zulmat, kufr is darkness. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهِ لَهُ نُورٌ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. So if Allah does not give nur to an individual, he cannot get that nur from anywhere else. So we have to try and do something that we enlighten ourselves with these usul-ud-deen, with the fundamentals of our religion, and as a result of that, increase the good actions and deeds that we do, as a result of which we too also get enlightened. Again, in brief, this is a recognized issue by every faith, that the true success and prosperity is by possessing the faith. But many a times we are mistaken in what that faith is. We think whatever faith comes across, that is the true faith. When it comes to usul-ud-deen, when it comes to fundamentals, the first verdict in every tawzil masail, you find that every individual has to be a mujtahid when it comes to learning his deen. That is, when it comes to knowing his usul-ud-deen, he has to have a proof for himself that he should understand and digest all the fundamentals correctly and clearly. And if you don't do it, Quran says, فَمَا لَهُ وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. In the hereafter, you will have no share. It means that our eternal prosperity is by possessing these fundamentals. If we don't have these fundamentals right, that eternal prosperity is also going to be absent. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. Now, one of the other issues in this concept of Iman, which plays a very important part, it is the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Who are named in Quran as Urwatul Wusqa. Urwatul Wusqa means the strong rope. And without Ahlul Bayt, it is impossible. If you get some chance, read this du'a Ziyarat Jami'at al-Kabira. A beautiful ziyarah to address any of the a'imma alayhi salam. There says that bikum fataha Allah, that it is through you Allah opened everything. That is the ma'sumin, the 12 imams. Bikum yakhtin, that is by these infallible ma'sumin, he will close everything. And then says that if you want to have faith in Allah, that faith in the oneness of Allah can be sought easily through Ma'sumin, through the channel of Ma'sumin. Now if we look into and analyze human beings in general, we can't talk, we can't speak to each other, we can't communicate to each other. In reality, this communication has been taught to us by Ma'sumin. Now again, communicating with each other is tough. Communicating is God, with God is impossible. This dua iftitah which we just recited, we just said in the opening of it, Allahumma azinta li fi du'aik. That is, Allah, you permitted us to talk to you. Now that He has permitted us to talk to Him, how do we talk? We don't know. That speech has been taught to us by Ma'asumeen. If we want to know who Allah is, the door is Ma'asumeen. If we want to know what the hereafter is, the door again is Ma'asumeen. That is, without them it is impossible. Urwatul Wusqa, as they have been named in Quran. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He has given many blessings to us. Normally, what we think is, the material blessings that He gives us are the blessings. We just ignore the spiritual blessings, the moral blessings. They are always overlooked. They are always unseen. We think that if a job is there, if a good household is there, if there is luxury, if there is money, if there is a bank balance, if there are children, wives, spouses, etc., that is everything. For instance, the reality, there are many, many more needs and requirements that we have, which we are totally unaware of them. We are ignorant. And for every blessing that Allah has given to us, it is upon us that we thank Him. That is the basic, that it is wajib upon us. And among these blessings that Allah has given to us are the blessings of Urwatul Wusqa li Ahlul Bayt alayhim
as-salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We have to acquaint ourselves with them. We have to be thankful to Allah for this great blessing of wilaya, for this great blessing of ma'rifah, for this great blessing of iman. Again, among the beautiful things that we learn in this sacred month of Ramadan is among the du'as that ought to be recited after the midnight, it's du'a Abu Hamza Thimali. One of the lengthiest du'as that we have. And if you were to recite it at a good fast pace, it would take at least 1 hour and 20 minutes for you to recite. Reported from our fourth imam. Now what do we have in this du'a? Imam calls upon the blessings one after the other, thanks Allah, glorifies Him, mentions the concept of death, how a person will be giving away his life, entering into that grave and the beyond, etc., etc. And after this 115 minutes of dua, you find the imam comes to one sentence. What is that? Says, Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan tubashiru bihi qalbi. Ma'soom, he is asking Allah. That is, for the message to be conveyed to us. After that 1 hour and 15 minutes, he says that, O God, I ask you to give me an iman, a faith. Tubashiru bihi qalbi. Bashara in Arabic means vest. It's that clothing that we wear, which is nearest and closest to the skin. Imam says, give me a, bless me with an iman which is so close and near me, which is stuck to my heart, which does not go away from me, which doesn't distance from me. Tubashir bihi qalbi wa yaqeenan, etc. So that is the dua which Imam has. When it comes to the day and age that we are in, the circumstances, the dangerous environments that we are living in, wherein the temptations are to the max, the satanic attacks are to the max, and all these deviations in all different forms and formats that we have, we need a lot of help, we need a lot of support, and we need a lot of shelter that could help us from these deviations. And that support is Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So that strong rope which Quran talks about are they. And many a times we are mistaken from our destination. Our destination is the hereafter, is the akhirah. Our prosperity and success, the eternal life, lies in the hereafter. That is, a person, when he dies, only then will he gain and find eternity and that eternal life. Many a times we are mistaken. Instead of having that final abode in our minds, We think that these little attachments that we have in this dunya, that is wife and children, house, universities, jobs, etc., these are the destinations. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. The Quran says that all these attachments, these adornments that you have, sometimes man, he is mistaken, he thinks that this is the goal, this is the destination, which is wrong. That is not the goal, that is not the destination, that is a tool that would help you to get to your destination easily. But we are mistaken. And on the contrary, again, we find in the Quran that the human being, the human nature, it is as such that we think that whenever material blessings are given to us, are bestowed on to us, we think that Allah is being kind to us. And when these blessings are taken away from us, we think that Allah is being unkind. Quran says that this concept is of the kuffar. Never be like that. Because kuffar, they used to say that فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانِ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ وَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَنِي. That whenever Allah gave them, bestowed upon them all the riches, wealth, and all the material gifts and blessings, they used to say that Allah has exalted us, Allah has dignified us. And when Allah took away these blessings from them, for example, the job was gone, one of the family members died, or the blessings that were given to us are seized away from us, they used to say, فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانَنِي. Allah has insulted us by taking away these blessings. So that is the belief of kuffar. Quran says, no matter how much is given to you, be firm. If everything is taken away from you, yet be firm. That is iman. That is being steadfast, that is possessing that faith in the existence of Allah Jalla Wa'ala. Now, to understand this in easier and simpler words, a person comes to the Imam and says, Imam, help me, I'm very poor. Imam says, you are very rich, but you are the richest. He says, no, Imam, I need help. I'm desperate, I want help. Because I'm in need. Imam says, you are not, you are the richest, you possess everything. For the third time, he says the same. For the third time, Imam gives him the same reply. And then Imam says, this love that you have for Ahlul Bayt, if you were to give away that love and instead get all the riches and wealth of this dunya, this world, will you do that? He says, I will never do that. Imam says, you are the richest person. That what you possess is huge, is massive.
Salawat! Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So that attachment to Ma'sumin has to be there. Without that, it is impossible. So iman we have to possess. To strengthen this iman, we have to get help from Ahlul Bayt. To enlighten this iman, we have to knock the door of this Ahlul Bayt, and without that, it is impossible. Now, we said that it is the criteria of a mu'min is that he has to possess that iman. Iman is light. Opposing iman is kufr. Kufr is darkness. To enlighten ourselves, we have to go to Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Just a false claim that we are Shias is not sufficient. Quran says, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا. That during the time of Rasulullah, people they used to come and say that, Ya Rasulullah, آمَنَّا, we have iman. Immediately an ayah is revealed, says Rasulullah, tell them, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا, you haven't got that iman, you are not believers. وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا, say that we have just embraced, we have said La ilaha illallah. By saying that formula or that recital, you have entered into Islam. But if you want that Islam to be strengthened in yourself, you have to work that iman, it has to fit into your heart, and that every limb of your body, every cell of your body has to embrace, has to accept that faith in the oneness of Allah, in the prophethood, and in the hereafter. We say that we are Shias. But in reality, if we look into our own performance, we will say that we are not. Now to understand this, again, we will seek help from Ma'sumeen alayhi wassalam during the time of our 8th Imam Reza alayhi
wassalam. Muhammad.
A group of mu'mineen, they set off and they come towards Marv. Marv is the place which is Mashhad today. Before the Shahadat of our 8th Imam, it was known as Marv. And after his Shahadat, it was known as Mashhad. The people who were traveling from that part and going towards Afghanistan, they said that now that we've come all the way here, we should go and visit our Imam, meet him. They come to Imam's house, knock the door, and when the Khadim opens the door, who are you? They say that we are the Shias of the 8th Imam. He goes and gives the message to the Imam, Khadim, the caretaker, he comes back and says, come next time, next day for example. This group of people, they come the next day. The next day they knock the door, the same answer, Imam says, come later. For 60 days, they come every day, the same answer, and on the 60th day, now these again are beautiful Shias, beautiful followers, that they did not give up, that they just kept on coming and coming on and on for 60 days. And on the 60th day, that is after 2 months, when they come and knock the door, and when they are told that Imam, now this time they say that we want to go back. And if we go back, people in our town, they will say that you went all the way there, did you meet the Imam? And if we say that we did not meet the Imam, Imam denied meeting us, he did not want to meet us, what answer would we give to our people? And our enemies, they're going to be happy at this, that Imam did not meet his own people. Now, the message is given to the Imam, Imam comes. Says that the claim you had was a wrong claim. You said that we are the Shias of Ahlul Bayt, Shias of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Shias of the 8th Imam. When the actions of yours, the performance of yours is not that of the Shias. Then they said that, what do we say, Ya Imam? We are your lovers. Imam says, that is much better. At least that title of Shia is not on you. Because Shia is a huge, big title. Someone who carries it has to carry the qualities which are mentioned for the Shias. And then Imam asks the Khadim, how many days were they here? For 60 days. Imam sits down, stands up and says, Salaamu Alaikum 60 times. And then says, you will be my guest for 60 days. As the followers and the lovers of Ahlul Bayt. So, the true Iman, in the books that we have, in the riwayat that have been reported, which are thousands, there is a chapter known as Iman wal Kufr. There says that Iman, it cannot be defined. And a hadith here says that لا يقدر الخلائق على كنه صفة الله عز وجل. خلائق means the creation. Al-Khalaiq means the entire creation. Whatever Allah has created, says that none of them can they ever perceive Allah. It's impossible for them to perceive Allah. Continues and says that فَكَمَا لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَىٰ كُنْهِ صِفَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فَكَذَلِكَ لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَىٰ كُنْهِ صِفَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Says people, they cannot perceive, they cannot understand, they cannot know Allah. And then says, as they cannot know Allah, it is impossible for them to know Rasulullah. Furthermore, continues and says that as it is impossible for them to know Rasulullah, it is impossible for them to perceive, to know and to understand the Imams alayhim as-salam. They cannot. Now, this part is very beautiful. Says, وَكَمَا لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَىٰ كُنْهِ صِفَةِ الْإِمَامِ كَذَلِكَ لَا يُقْدَرُ عَلَىٰ كُنْهِ صِفَةِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Says, as it is impossible for them to perceive, to know, to understand the Imam, no one in this grand creation of Allah can ever understand a mu'min. Mu'min is someone who possesses those basic criteria, that is Tawheed, Adl, Nabuwa, Imama, and Qiyam. Says the entire creation, none of them can understand who a Mu'min is. And then we find that in a further lengthier report, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa
sallam,
in Masjid al-Haram, he faces the Kaaba. And then he says that ma a'zamak wa a'zama hurmatak ala Allah. Says, what great dignity you possess. Now Rasulullah is in Masjid al-Haram, facing the Kaaba. He says that what great dignity and honor you possess, and what great sanctity and respect you possess, facing the Kaaba. But then, immediately Rasulullah says, the dignity and honor of a mu'min is greater. That is greater than Kaaba itself. That is mu'min. And again, if you look into the riwayat that we have in one of these ahadith of Qudsiyya, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, his reluctance in seizing the soul of a mu'min. Now Allah, he is the creator. He possesses everything. He is not reluctant to do anything. Whenever he wants to do, he does it. That is Allah. Now in this hadith says that on one occasion he is reluctant. Now what is that? When does he do that? Inna Rasulaka as-Sadiq, I'm quoting from the Prophet. Salawatu ya alayhi wa alayhi qala innaka qul. Now this is the dua, one of the duas that we have, that is to be recited after the wajib prayers that we have. Says innaka qulta ma taraddadtu fi shay'in ana fa'iluhu ka taraddudi fi qabli ruhi 'abdiyan mu'min yakrahu al-maut wa akrahu al-masah. Allah says that on this one occasion I am reluctant. I want to meet my mu'min, my servant who is a mu'min. Meaning that when I want to meet him, that I have to seize his soul to meet him. Say, I love to meet my servant who is a mu'min, and to meet him I have to seize his soul. Say that, but that mu'min, he wants to live. Why does he want to live? He wants to live so that he worships more, so that he increases that bond with Allah, and that taqarrub and nearness to Allah is increased. That is, the distance between Allah and the servant is lessened and shortened. The servant wants to live to decrease the distance between him and Allah. Allah wants to meet that mu'min because he loves him. Says that on that one occasion I am reluctant to take his soul. And again, if you look into the same hadith, it continues and says that وَمَا تَرَدَّدْتُ فِي شَيْءٍ أَنَا فَاعِلُهُ كَتَرَدُّدِي عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ لِعَنِّي أُحِبُّ لِقَاءَهُ. I love to meet that mu'min, but he hates to die. That is, if Allah wants to meet him, he has to kill him. But that mu'min, he hates to die. Says, because of that love I have to that mu'min, I delay his death. I postpone his death because that is his wish and desire, to reduce the distance between me and him. And then says that, the same hadith in the end of it, says that if Allah, وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٌ وَاحِدٌ. Says if in this entire planet there wasn't any person, just one mu'min, only one mu'min, no one else. Says, لَكْتَفَيْتُ بِهِ عَنْ جَمِيعِ خَلْقِ. Allah says, I would suffice with that one mu'min, that he would be sufficient for me and the entire creation, even if they are not there, I don't care. And then says, to fulfill the aims of this creation, I would fulfill them through that one mu'min. Now, when there is just one person living on this huge, big planet with no one else to acquaint with, what will he do? It would be very tough for that person. Says that يُغَيِّرُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَيَقُولُ عَبْدِي مَا مَنَعَكَ. So says that that one person who will be living on that earth, Allah will suffice by him, and through him that entire aim of the creation will be fulfilled. And that one person, he would not need any acquaintance. His acquaintance will be with his iman. That is, his acquaintance will be Allah Jalla wa Ala. In one of the other hadiths that we have, quoting from Ishaq bin Ja'far, he is the brother of our seventh imam, quoting from his forefathers, from Rasulullah, says that on the day of judgment, Allah will complain a few questions from a few of his servants. Now who are these servants? Now these are not those people who are afraid or worried about the punishments and the wrath in the hereafter. Now these beautiful servants of Allah, they are worried that on the day of judgment, Allah, if he complains, if he objects to one of their performance, not that they will be punished, what would be their answer? Says that many a times we find in the visions that were seen from the noble that have been reported to us that after their death they are worried, and they say that they were inquired by Allah that why did they say that and that? Why did they not perform such and such an act? In this report, the Almighty complains to a mu'min that when I fell ill, Allah says that when I fell ill, when I got sick, why did he not come and visit me? Now in reply that mu'min, he says that Allah, all glory and praise belongs to you. How can you fell ill? How can you get sick? And then Allah says, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي لَوْ أُدَّهُ لَوَجَدْتَنِي عِنْدًا. That is, when that fellow mu'min, he fell ill, if you had visited him, you would have visited me. That is, if a fellow mu'min fell ill, Allah says, it is as if I fell ill. ثُمَّ لَتَكَفَّنْتُ. And then, normally we come up with different excuses that we were busy, my car broke down, I didn't get a day off, job was tough, I couldn't come from job, you couldn't find a nanny, a child minded to look after children, so on and so forth. Then Allah says that, had you visited that mu'min who had fallen ill, who was sick, لَتَكَفَّلْتُ بِحَوَائِجِكَ فَقَضَيْتُهَا لَكْ. That no matter what wishes, hajat you had, all of those wishes and hajat would have been given to you, would have been fulfilled through that mu'min. That is, Allah says, because that mu'min is as if myself, all of those wishes and hajat would have been granted. And then says, إِيَّايَ زُرْتَ وَثَوَابُكَ عَلَيْهِ. It is as if you have visited me when you visit a fellow mu'min. So mu'min, he possesses that great rank. Shias are the mu'mineen that have been mentioned in Quran. Mu'min is someone who possesses iman. Iman is the fundamentals. And through iman, a person is enlightened. Iman is that light. And someone who does not possess that iman is kufr. Kufr is darkness, which Quran talks about. Inshallah, we will continue on this topic, who mu'mineen are in the light of the views and sayings of Amir al-Mu'mineen. May Allah Jalla wa Ala accept this little service from us, and may He Tabarak wa Ta'ala count us and enlist us among the mu'mineen, among the followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen, among those who are waiting for the Imam of Time, and all those who seek martyrdom and shahadat in His service. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala enlist our children among the best who ever existed, among the best Muslims who ever existed. May Allah clean the surface of this earth by those who oppose Allah and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. All those who are ill and ailing, all those who have requested for du'as, all those who have passed away, may Allah elevate their ranks. All those who have hopes, wishes, desires, hajat, all of them be granted. Every noble, whatever he asks from Allah, be granted to each one of them and us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
السلام عليك يا صاحب الزمان، السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن، السلام عليك يا إمام الإنس والجان، عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك ورحمة الله وبركاته.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.